good afternoon. It is after one bell of the afternoon watch, and that is because it is important that we get to the end of the previous program with my friend and colleague and fellow Quartermaster Yacht Club member, Dr. Bruce Hallman. So I do not break into that, and I get to add maybe a couple of minutes on to the end of my time with you today. My greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people who structure your day to spend this half hour with me. I'm enormously grateful for each of you who does that, and I want to recognize that today in particular because I know that there are a number of Captain Joe's people who not only do this, but who do it because they want to hear me fulfill my mission, which is one of my many missions in life, is to make all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world we live in, and I only have half an hour in which to do that. I'm going to talk briefly about several things that are troubling to me, and then I am indeed going to tell several things that have happened to me in the last week, which will certainly make me feel better about the day, and although the day is already feeling pretty good, and hopefully it will make you feel the same. The Binnacle List today has the tragic loss of some of our military people in the Middle East. We are now at war. I'm going to talk briefly about that a little bit downstream from this, but the Binnacle List itself comes to me and to you today with two additions of people who have asked not to be either identified by name or by what is going on with them, and I certainly will not do that. But know that these are serious additions to the list, to your captain. Every member on the list is serious to me. Know that all of you, as always, are in the palm of my hand. Always, all of you are close to my heart. And for all who are on the Binnacle List, know that the concentrated energy of all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, all of that energy is being sent in your direction so that you will come back onto active duty, back to full duty, not wearing the sick list armband, and that you will be fully restored. Follow the instructions of your medical practitioner, and then all will be well. In my own case, I continue steady as she goes. I've not had to use any of the Pro Tem Mr. Foley stuff, gear, damage control equipment, and I am next week going to take a trip to San Francisco by way of San Francisco International Airport, airline code SFO. If I get a chance, I'll talk just a little bit about that. Just checking my large watch here to make sure that we are on the same time. And so about what's going on in the Middle East, I have two major concerns. The first one is that as in Korea, as in Vietnam, as in Iraq, And in fact, not since World War II have we had a formal declaration of war, which is under the Constitution allotted to the Congress. In this particular case, the first attacks were launched before Congress was even notified. The Secretary of Defense is not elected by the people. The members of Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives, are our representatives, and the people who framed the Constitution made it implicit that the Congress would be involved in any of the combative activities in which the country may engage and may involve itself. I don't know yet exactly how they're going to solve that particular difficulty, but I am concerned that all of this has been done without the involvement of all of those people who have been elected to represent us. The second thing that is of concern to me is that the Straits of Hormuz, and you can look it up, on Google Earth, you can see where it is. It's a choke point. And it's a choke point through which much of the petroleum-carrying vessels must transit. Right now, there have been 5 ships, according to my latest reports, that have been hit. And there are about 150 ships that are stuck there. In addition, we have carrier and their support groups in the area. My particular concern is that ships like Abraham Lincoln are incredibly tempting targets. Abraham Lincoln is a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. The nuclear reactor takes the place of the boilers that are in my much-loved Coast Guard cutter, Ingham. They generate steam, and the steam is used to turn turbines that in turn turn the propellers. They may be electric. An electric motor, generators and electric motors. I'm not up on my engineering. I did not do my engineering training in Abraham Lincoln. I did my engineering training in a steam-powered ship, but not Abraham Lincoln. So in any case, the compartment in which the reactors sit, these are enormous compartments. There's no such thing as an unsinkable ship. There is no such thing as a missile defense that is 100% effective. And we already have a report of a large missile that got through a missile defense and hit one of our diplomatic installations in the Middle East. It is possible. Should one of those very large missiles be launched from Iran, that it gets through the missile defense, which is consisted of the support vessels. Most of them are Arleigh Burke-class destroyers, and I believe there may be some Ticonderoga-class cruisers still in those screens. But one of those missiles may get through. And if it hits the reactor compartment, she will probably be gone. I have never, of course, served in an aircraft carrier, although my Northwind had aircraft. But I have commanded a steam-powered ship, and I know something about shipboard damage control. So those are one of my big concerns is the safety of the carriers that are involved. It will be a terrible tragedy, especially for the loss of life, secondly for the loss of the asset and the aircraft that goes with it. And third, to the presumption of infallibility, the presumption of invulnerability that we as Americans carry with us. We have plenty of vulnerabilities. Those are my concerns. A personal concern is that my Stockholm family is on the island of Mauritius. They went there for holiday, and now they can't get out. They were booked on Emirates Airlines, by way of Dubai, and of course, Dubai was shut down. It is now open on a very limited basis, and I am hopeful that they will be able to get out and back to Stockholm soon. But I am very much concerned about any of my people that are anywhere east of Berlin. And they are somewhat east of Berlin. The casualties will start to come in. Captain's quarters are right under the final approach course for those C-17s coming in, bringing in wounded from the Middle East, flying into McCord Air Force Base for further transfer to Madigan Army Hospital. And, of course, the ones that don't make it will be coming through Dover. There are families grieving right now. I grieve for all of them. The other unfortunate thing that I am going to report today, you all will remember the Royal Navy survey ship that ran aground, I believe, off the coast of New Zealand a couple of years ago. And her captain was a lady, and that has nothing to do with her skills or competency. It's just something to point out here that that her captain was relieved, and now her captain is going to be court-martialed. I don't know if the Royal Navy still does this, but in the days of sailing ship, when a captain or anybody else, but in, let's say a captain was court-martialed for some dereliction of duty, and when it was time for the board, the court-martial board, to deliberate, the accused would be taken out of the room. And when the court-martial board had come to their decision, the accused was brought back in, and there would be a sword, an officer's sword, on the court-martial table. If the blade was pointed toward the accused, he knew right away that he had been convicted. If the blade of the sword was pointed away from him, he knew that he had been acquitted. Knowing what I do know about this particular incident, I have a feeling that the former commanding officer, the former captain of this ship, when she comes into the court-martial boardroom, is going to see the blade pointed in her direction. My last thing, which is not very happy, is to remind all of our political leaders and the leadership of my service that my people are still always ready, carrying out all of their duties, and they are not being paid. Now is the time for the commandant to take the 4 stars off his collar point, go into the secretary's office, slap them down with some emphasis, and say, "Madam Secretary, it is time for you to get together with Congress and have some legislation enacted so that all people who are part of the Department of Homeland Security get paid. There's a way that this can be done without compromising whatever political horses are being flogged. There's a way that this can be done. Should the commandant want some advice on this subject, my sea bag is packed. And now on to a couple of things which will make all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves. Last Sunday, I decided to hold a midwinter tour day at Point Robinson Light Station. Normally, I start the tours at on Mother's Day, which is also Kite Day, which is also the first day of the regular tour season. But I decided to have a midwinter tour day. And it turned out to be a huge success. One of the things that made it a success is that my friend Steve, who by profession is a geologist, had put together a collection of all of the different kinds of rocks that we have here on the island. And it's amazing how many different kinds there are, and they all have a name. And Steve had put this collection together. He had labeled the rocks, and then he had a guide inside the box. And many, many people came in and just learned something, enjoyed the time. So one of the things that happened was a couple of young ladies came in to, they had come to see the troll. We have a troll on the site, not on the Coast Guard site, but another part of the park. And they decided to come down and have a visit with your captain. In the conversation, it turned out that one of these young ladies, and young to me, they were because they told me this, that they were in their 40s. And one of these young ladies was about to make a big change in her life. And part of that change was to start her own business. I told her the story of my friend Megan, who makes healthy dog treats in Traverse City, Michigan. And I told her the story about Megan and the way that she was able to organize and finance and make happen her dream. As the conversation progressed, it turned out that the other young lady was also trying to figure out how she was going to manage the next part of her life. These events are more frequent than one would imagine at a lighthouse tour. But for reasons which are not completely clear to me, many of people that come in just want someone to talk to who is just a little bit articulate, has maybe just a little bit of life's experience, and is willing to also disclose some of the failures in his own life. For yes, indeed, your Captain Joe has had more than one or two failures. It must be honestly reported that most of those came in my personal life, but they're still there, and I'm willing to talk about them, and I'm willing to use them as a training aid when I get people for whom I think that they will be receptive and that it will help them as they make their own decisions. It turned out to be a great, great afternoon, not just because of this particular contact. The two ladies left. They were riding their bicycles all over the island, and they had about maybe a two-hour bicycle to get the ferry at the north end of the island. But they were incredibly receptive, and they left with the promise of a report back as to how they had applied the things that we had discussed into the decisions that they now knew that they had to make. And should they fulfill that promise and that commitment, I will report back to you. The next thing that happened was yesterday, I went to McCord Air Force Base to get my haircut. Now, it must be some of you who know me well and know my present physical configuration know that there is not a great deal on the top. And yet, on the side, there is an occasional fluffing out that I feel is more than I want. And so I go to McCord and I get a haircut. Not too long ago, when I went in, I was sitting in the chair, and as is my custom, I was having a conversation with the young lady that was cutting my hair. It turns out that she comes from Hawaii, and she comes from Waipahu. Now, those of you who have served in the islands know that Waipahu is in the middle of the island. It's not too far from Schofield Barracks and not too far from the pineapple fields in the middle of the island. And I said to her, do you know the Waipahu either alma mater and or the fight song? No, I do not. And I said, well, here is your mission. Your mission is to go and get the text of the alma mater and learn it. And the next time that you and I are here in the barbershop together, I will ask you to sing it. And she said, I will do that. And certainly, and sure enough, when the next time that I came into the barber shop at the exchange at McCord Air Force Base, there was this lovely young Vahini, and she broke out into Waipahu fight song in Hawaiian. Now, it's not often that we have that kind of influence anymore. And so I take this as a great compliment that she would see the challenge, that she would accept the challenge, and that she would follow through. So yesterday, she was not the one that cut my graying and sparse hair. But she was working there, and I walked in and I said, aloha. And she said, aloha. And she broke into, in Hawaiian, the Waipahu High School alma mater. Well done. Well done. I have great news about my residents, Sailor and Blossom. Somehow or other, Blossom, after 2.5 years, is finally getting the message that it is all right, that she is not losing any of her sense of identity or personality if she will allow me to pet her. Now, we have also moved to where she comes up and now sleeps. Mary's side of the bed is now taken up with where she sleeps. And she is working her way ever closer. Sailor is looking at this approach with some skepticism. He is not sure exactly what is going on, nor is he completely sure as to whether it is any threat to his job, and he considers that his main job is to protect me from all enemies, foreign and domestic. But in any case, all of this is moving along. I'd like to say in a smart and seamanlike fashion, but that's not the case. It is not. It is neither smart nor is it seamanlike. It is progressing with the speed of the Wobble Glacier, which you can still see today. Go on to Google Earth and you can find the Wobble Glacier. I'm running over just a little bit because I allowed the program before with Dr. Bruce Hallman to run over a little bit, and I'm going to give you the last good piece of news, and that comes from the magazine for this week, which is our favorite. And here is the, it is from one of the outstanding properties of 2025. It's in Surrey, which is a county to the south of London. And here is the text. In Magna Carta Lane in Runnymede, magnificent and historic Grade II house set in nearly 4 acres on a private island on the River Thames. The property houses the charter room where the Magna Carta is believed to have been signed. Well, I'm a little bit skeptical of that. 6 bedrooms, 2 baths, going to be kind of crowded around the head when those bedrooms are all occupied. Kitchen, 6 receptions, which is we call a living room. A garden, outbuilding, and it's priced at £4.5 million. Now, that is beyond our regular price range. I look at properties which are £1 million or less, and it is beyond that. But the photograph of it is stunning. I am skeptical that this was the place where the Magna Carta was signed, because if it were, it would not be just a Grade II house. It would be a national treasure. But the fact remains that if I were, and it's in Surrey, it's not in Cambridgeshire. So anyway, there is that for the property. And with all of that, and because I have allowed myself to run over just a couple of minutes, this is your Captain Joe. With all of the things that are happening in the world which are threatening and dangerous, watch out for each other. Touch fingertips frequently with those that you love and for whom you are accountable and responsible, as do I. Next week, I will be broadcasting from SFO. And I look forward to that. I'm going to a meeting of the Council of American Master Mariners, of which I've been a member for many, many years. And as always, all of you are in the palm of my hand. And as always, this is your Captain Joe. I am on station and watching properly.